The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is supported by Bisquick. With Bisquick, you can make homemade pancakes and classic breakfasts for your family. Recipes at bisquick.com.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been beautiful out there. We had some cold, cold weather, just brutally cold earlier in the week. But this fabulous beauty comes along with it. This amazing snowfall came on Tuesday. It was like glitter dropping out of the sky. My mic. What happened to my mic? Did it go away? It did. Okay. All right. Talk among yourselves for a moment. If you know any stories about a small town. Are we back now? Oh, good. Oh, good. That's a mark of true small-town spirit when you have the courage to speak up and tell somebody you can't hear them. In some places, you know, they would sit and nod as if they could hear you. And then they would laugh where they thought the right place was. And this would not be good for you or for me. What was I talking about? Snow coming out of the sky, of course. Like tinsel. It was like beautiful, beautiful little sparkly pieces coming out of the sky. And we sure need it this time of year because it's so discouraging. People get so cranky around this time of year, towards the middle of February. Marjorie Peterson is a very light sleeper. We've known that for years, and she can't get to sleep at night unless it's perfectly still and unless it's absolutely pitch black. And she's done pretty well over the years there in her little house on McKinley Street until the Torkelsons put up some lights to light up their flagpole so they could leave the flag up all night. For some reason, who knows why, they thought this was necessary. And these lights are casting lights into her bedroom. So now she's been trying to get to sleep at night, and she can't. And late one night this last week, she went over to the Torkelsons, and she unscrewed the light bulbs from the little installation in the grass, and she took them away. Well, the Torkelsons go to sleep early at night, so they had no idea, but the Magandanses told the Torkelsons how much they missed seeing Old Glory lit up at night and all that meant to them, and now it wasn't anymore. So the Torkelsons found out that Marjorie Peterson had unscrewed the light bulbs, and he wrote a column for the newspaper, Respect for the Flag and for Our Boys and the Sacrifice They Make, which made her feel terrible. So she thought maybe now was the time she should go down to Arizona, and she found a bed and breakfast down in Sedona. But then she looked at herself in the mirror wearing the shorts that she would wear down there, and there was nothing becoming about her legs. They just had started to lose their shape. So she's not going to go. She's just going to make do and learn to wear a sleep mask, although it troubles her. And now every day this last week, as she's driven past the Torkelson house, she has taken a fistful of pennies and thrown them out onto their lawn in hopes that when spring comes and he goes around with the mower, it will shoot pennies at his ankles like shrapnel. And this is a good woman. This is a very nice woman. This woman used to be in charge of the nursery at church, so That's how far February can push a person. Arlene and Clarence Bunsen have been at each other's throats over the question of whether it was time to put down their old cat, Winnie, who can barely make it to the food dish and has to have food brought to her and spoon-fed to her, and whether she should be put down now or if they should wait. Arlene says now, and Clarence says, we should wait. You never cared for that cat, he said. I know that you never cared. What do you mean? What are you talking about? I fed that cat for years, but we should put this cat out of its misery. So they fought back and forth. And then over her telling him that it was time for him to shovel the snow off the roof. So in revenge, He took the snowblower, he wrestled it up a ladder and got it up on the roof. And it sounded like the house was under attack up there. And then he tried to melt the ice dam in the gutter by putting stockings full of salt and laying them along the ice dam. And they were Arlene's stockings, her best stockings. It's a wonder marriages ever survived the month of February. Pastor Liz is back from her vacation in California, and she came back and found that she had to dog sit the dog, the pit bull of the pastor who filled in for her the 3 weeks that she was away. Pastor John left his pit bull, Pumpkin, there in the parsonage just for a few days, he said, while he got situated in his new apartment in Milwaukee. But then something went wrong with the apartment in Milwaukee, and he asked for an extension of a month. Pastor Liz doesn't care for dogs all that much, and this dog is weird. This is a dog who makes a kind of a low humming sound when he's asleep. And he sometimes, when awakened suddenly, he can be aggressive. But it isn't that. It's the look in his eye as he watches her, as she gets ready for bed. He looks at her as if to say, I'll bet people in this church have no idea that you sleep in the nude. And if there's any way to tell them, I'm going to. So she's been wearing pajamas for the first time, and they itch, and it makes her cranky. There's this beautiful dog, a beautiful big black lab. That's not as easy to say as you may think. A black Labrador that belongs to Charlie. He's been ice fishing for years, and he takes this dog out on the ice, Lake Wobegon. He has a nice little fish house out there. The dog has been his companion for years. But somehow he never explained to the dog, whose name is Sylvester, the principles of catch and release. So the other day when he caught a big walleye and he got the hook out of its lower lip and put it back in the hole, the dog was upset. And the dog dove into the hole. And he went in chase of the walleye. And Charlie loves this dog. He was terribly upset. He put his face down in the water, and he called the dog's name, Sylvester, Sylvester. And then he was banging on the ice with a skillet, thinking the dog could find his way back to the hole by hearing the sound. And then he walked out onto the ice, and it was been so long, and now he knew the dog was dead. The dog was dead. He burst into tears. And then he heard a scream from a nearby fish house. And Sylvester came racing across the ice, all wet and glistening with a walleye in his mouth. Charlie went into that fish house to see what was going on, and here was an old man who was lying on the floor. He couldn't talk, except he just whispered, whiskey. It's in the wood box. So Charlie got the whiskey out, and he put some to the old man's lips, and he looked around, and now he could see Playboy magazine lying there. It looked as if somebody had been reading it and then threw it up in the air. The old man saw what he was looking at, and he said, I really was just going to read it. And then I saw Miss December, and she looked so much like Laverne, the first girl I ever dated. Except you could see more of her than I ever saw of Laverne. And I was just looking at it. And then it came up out of the hole at me. It came up out of the hole. Charlie didn't feel it was his place to point out to the man that he didn't have any pants on. He wrapped a blanket around him, and he called the constables, and they came, and they took that man away to the hospital. He'd had a heart attack, but it was a mild heart attack, and he recovered from it, and he's been a pillar of the community ever since, a pillar of the community. No problems with him whatsoever. Well, here we are. We're on the verge of Valentine's Day, and maybe not sure absolutely what to do about it. A lot of women in town have been wearing bright red fingernail polish and bright red lipstick. And a lot of men have been shopping around for heart-shaped boxes of chocolate, as if that might be enough. And probably it is. Probably it is. What can you say? Up at the Good Shepherd home, love does not die. Old people who've lost everything else, they don't lose that. They don't lose that. There's an old couple up there. They lost their spouses this last year to cancer. And now you can find them in the fireside room, old man and old woman, Patricia and Harry. They never knew each other before, and now they do. Their wheelchairs pulled up side by side in front of the fire. They're sharing one lap robe between the two of them. They sit there holding hands. They doze off. She lays her head on his shoulder. They lost their spouses. Now they've lost most of their mental faculties. But they didn't lose that urge to touch and be touched, to be close to another person. And you know, the thing that leaves you last are the words to songs. You may not remember your own name. You may not remember where you are exactly or who is president, but when you hear those old songs, the words come back to you. Let me call you sweetheart, I'm in love with you. Let me hear you whisper that you love me true. See the love light gleaming in your eye so blue. Well, you remember most of the words. Let me call you sweetheart, I'm in love with you. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.